Hello, this is a short talk from a sea agent, otherwise called Gerd Domenisch. He is a professor for computer science, especially artificial intelligence and human-computer interaction, with some background in philosophy, psychology, theology, linguistics, and some other stuff. He is writing since many years contributions to the blog cognitiveagent.org with the topics philosophy and science. And the last time he again did write some ideas around the insight that in the context of evolution, human-like systems, especially the Homo sapiens sapiens, what we call man, reveals some very astonishingly properties, capacities, especially related to the fact that a human person is able to break out of the actual presence. So in every moment, you are perceiving the world, yourself, whatever. But despite the fact that in every moment you have only certain impressions, a human person is able to memorize past present situations. It can remember, it can compare different situations that can make up some abstractions, comparisons, new ideas, possible alternative actions. And though in this way a human person can transcend in a certain sense the actual present situation, the now, and can think about possible futures. And not only this, a human person, as part of a whole population, is meanwhile able to change the world, to change the building plans of biological systems, of its own genetic plan. And in this sense, a human person can break out of this dynamics given by empirical laws and can change the course of the world fundamentally. So this was a topic of the last weeks and months and somehow also years. And then by a discussion with his friend Manfred Fassler and by reading some books from Monod, Dawkins, Wilson, he remembered that he has also read some book from Stuart Kaufman, Reinventing the Sacred, some years ago. And rereading this book and some more papers, Gerd Domenisch detected that Stuart Kaufman already had all these insights with very elaborated arguments, why it is possible and necessary to change a main pattern of thinking in empirical science, namely to break out of the break out of this pattern which is called reductionism. This means in reductive thinking, you are trying to explain a complex phenomenon by trying to trace it back to more elementary parts and by using some functions describing the behavior of the parts. They want to explain the behavior of the complex phenomena. But as one can see with many examples, especially also with a computer. If you're doing this, you are losing the special properties of the complex phenomena, which are really important. So, for example, you are sitting for your computer, your laptop, you're hitting a key A, and then you will see with the right program this A on the screen. This is the complex phenomenon, but you can know that inside the computer, inside the hardware, there are millions, billions of gates, logical gates, which can have electric potentials. And if you are doing this, pressing the key, then some of these electrical potentials will change their value, and you can describe this change. But looking to the gates alone, you can never understand what is connected to these potentials in the application scenario. It's completely impossible to derive from the behavior of the potentials of the logical gates any kind of behavior in the application scenario. So in this sense, one would have to say that an emergent phenomenon is a phenomenon which you can reduce or map to more simple ones, but you cannot map simple phenomena by necessity to such complex phenomena. That means the complex phenomena exists in a certain constellation of material parts, but this the material parts as such have not this property alone. Only in a certain combination of material parts you can experience this function or this phenomenon. So in this sense, an emergent phenomenon is a phenomenon of that kind that you cannot deduce it from the parts. It's only there if a collection of parts is arranged in a certain mode, then you can have it. And all biological phenomena are of that kind. That means if you know the atoms of the molecules which are in a body or in a plant, you can describe the behavior of some molecules, but you never will find any way to describe the macro phenomena of a plant or of an animal. In this sense, emergent phenomena represent a class of phenomena which are original on its own, and they cannot. And if you, if you would try to reduce them to the parts, you would lose all the interesting properties. So if you take this seriously, then a possible explanation for this is that these functionality which you can see in the context of emergent phenomena is coming not from the air or from something mystical, but this functionality is part of the material stuff which is engaged in this phenomenon. But this functionality can only become visible, can show up, if you bring these parts in the right context. For example, from chemistry, you know, you have lots of different atoms, and an atom as such has certain properties, but an atom is an atom and will not show too much. But if you take different atoms together under certain conditions, they will show quite new properties which couldn't be seen before. These new properties are not mystical things. These properties are the result of properties which are inside of every atom but cannot be shown up without the context. So that means if you take emergent phenomena seriously, you have to presuppose that all the new, interesting, fascinating properties, emergent properties, are possible because the parts have in their material structures properties which are hidden as long as you do not connect them in the right way. So from physics we know this phenomenon of gravitation, and gravitation shows up if you have more than one body. If you have only one body, you can have no phenomenon of gravitation. So the gravitation, but gravitation is nothing mystical. It is a property which becomes visible if enough material stuff is around, so that this implicit property of this material stuff can be effective. In this sense, complex phenomena, emergent phenomena, emergent phenomena are showing implicit properties of matter arranged in the right way. And this applies naturally also to the consciousness, to human mind. In the past, human mind was also a little bit mysterious, because in the past, philosophers, people could not really understand what a human mind is, how it works. One had no understanding of the body and its cells and the complex machinery, how cells can interact, especially the cells in the brain, which can interact and can generate highly complex patterns of potentials changing around, interchanging, interacting, etc. And where we know that these activities are the basis for so-called cognitive phenomena or the consciousness. But taken together with this hypothesis of built-in functions or implicit functions of matter, one would say, yes, even if you need these billions of neurons to generate or enabling this conscious phenomenon, it would be fruitless to try to track conscious phenomena to special neurons or special neuron activities, because it is not a single neuron or a single property, the property of a single neuron, which makes up these cognitive properties, but it is this assembly of many neurons which allow interactions and properties which otherwise are not possible. And if you look to the mind from the inside of the mind, from your consciousness, everybody can do it. You see, you have many, many, many properties, colors, shapes, changes, emotions, whatever, which make up a whole world, your world, your picture of the world. And the kind of these phenomena is such that you cannot deduce from this phenomena anything about the machinery, the neural machinery, which generates these phenomena. So the world of consciousness is a world on its own. It's closed. You can generate new worlds. You can change everything. Everything is in that the consciousness possible. But we know what we have recognized from the outside real empirical world. The empirical world is not infinite. The empirical world is finite with lots of laws regulating the behavior of matter. But consciousness inside of matter is somehow independent of matter. And in this, it is a property of matter. Matter enables consciousness, but consciousness is not reducible to the the different parts, the different neurons. And in this sense, consciousness indicates a very remarkable property of matter, which is something new. It is a quality on its own, but it's not independent from matter. And this brings another idea into play, which Stuart Kaufmann already has talked about in his books and papers, the idea of agency, saying that biological systems, even beginning with very simple cells, have this strange property that they can somehow perceive, detect events in the environment. They can somehow process these events and they can react back to the events and onto themselves. And in this sense, they can act. They can change things. They can change themselves. And this acting is not foreseeable. It is not necessary. You cannot predict it. And so even the simplest biological systems have a basic unpredictability, which is the source of, you can call it, creativity, innovations, which have changed the surface of the earth and which still is changing everything. And if you look to human persons with their special cognitive abilities, language, etc., this is going on much more than ever. And so agency is a quite new, basic new property of inside of the universe as a property of matter, which shows up under certain conditions. So also the question of how life emerged somehow, which tens of years has been debated. At the moment, it seems that there is some insight how it really could be happened. But the important point is that life is not a mystical something. Life is the implicit property of matter, which shows up under the right conditions. So what one has detected the last years is that under certain conditions in the oceans, the so-called black smokers, with certain conditions of of electrical potentials, of chemical substance, whatever is needed, which has been there at the right place at the right time, which enabled chemical processes, so it looks like, which in turn enabled more other processes, building up of structures, which then finally could then be organize themselves in an autonomous way of self-reproduction. And so the implicit functions of matter under certain constellations allowed constellations, assemblies, even with even more functionalities. And though in this sense, which is showing up, which we perceive, is not a mystical, in a bad sense, a mystical thing, but it is the natural property of matter, which has all these functionalities with it. So what we now perceive the last billion years is the evolution is a process of more and more revealing the potentials of matter. And what we can see is that these biological matter, or a biological version of matter, follows rules which are different to the known physical rules which have been applied to non-living structures. Living structures follow quite new rules, and until now, physics has not yet dealt with these problems in the right way. And though we have a separated worldview, physical laws which explain part of the non-living structure, part, because dark matter, dark energy, etc., is not really black matter, black energy is not completely understood from physics, and the whole bunch of biological phenomena is also not understood of physics until now. And even more, as the complexities of this biological matter are increasing, we are lost with our mathematical models until now. And the old traditional humanities, philosophy, etc., have somehow given up, I would say. So repeating old texts and concepts which are not longer really helpful, but they are not able to explain this incredible phenomena of life and cognition along or in correspondence to the material conditions where they show up. Okay. So Stuart Kaufmann has revealed all these things with very nice texts, and even more, he then pointed out that this kind of biological agency is even more than only an interesting phenomenon, because this kind of biological agency has a concept of action, of behavior, which is far beyond pure facts, because acting, a biological agent who is acting, he is changing things, and these changes feed back to the agent, and either they help the agent to live on the earth, or they don't help. So acting in a certain environment is not a neutral fact. It is also some valuable event in the sense it helps or it doesn't help. And so agency is a source of values, original source of values, which can be traced back in all every time. And as long as one is following these actions and the implicit values of these actions, one can try to find those values which help a whole population to survive, to help each other to increase the potentials for life. Or if one does not follow these things, if one is hindering transparency, then it can be very worse for the living agents, especially if you look to the so-called religions. All of these religions, as far as we know, have tried to combine insights in valuable actions with a transcendent authority saying this is not because if you eat this then you will die. No, they said if you eat this you will die because this is a revelation of God. So whatever God is, they use the word God to establish some authority that people should believe in this and should behave according to this rule without really understanding why. This is a very dangerous game, and in the past has brought with it a lot of bad experiences, of death. And this is the same strategy which in all authoritarian regimes is followed, that the emperor, the dictator, whatever, how we want to realize his regime, he is using values, norms, which are set by authority and not by insight. And so biology teaches us that values are rooted in behavior. Values have to be detected and learned, and they are important to improve life, and they must be transparent to everybody, and there must be some communication how it is, how it works, how we should improve it. And the so-called religions of the past, in this point, they have played a game which is not very helpful. And until today, one has the impression that the old religions are somehow occupied by these wrong perspectives, so that they not really can help people. But a science which goes beyond reductionism and which is accepting complex phenomena as emergent phenomena and as such as natural parts of matter and the material universe, then this kind of science could really help. But a science which is opposing emergent phenomena is excluding all the interesting parts of life and is also excluding values. And one cannot see how a complex biological population can survive in this world without a very clear and detailed knowledge about the implicit properties of matter.